Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I told you, I want to go through the life of Paul this year with you. And so I'm giving you a little bit of preliminary groundwork. Last Wednesday night, we talked about the background of the Apostle Paul. We looked at, remember, his race, his region, his religion. We looked at his background. Well, tonight, we're going to look at another subject here about Paul that I think will allow really lay some good groundwork. I want to go over some material that actually I've gone over before in the Bible Institute. I want to give you a condensed version of what I gave in the Bible Institute. I don't have time to go into the depth that I go into in the Bible Institute when I do my class on Paul, but I do want to give you a brief overview here of Paul the pattern. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read a verse here in a moment, several verses. But you know, a lot of people are looking for somebody to pattern their life after. Teenagers try to dress and act like their favorite singer, or ladies imitate the hairstyles of Hollywood, or men attempt to look up to their favorite sports star. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, who do you think would be a pattern for believers living in the present age of grace? Certainly there are many great men and women in the Bible. Who is our pattern? Would it be David? Would it be Daniel? Samuel, great man. We studied him out this past year. Christ, of course, is in the Bible. Great men and women in the Bible like Moses. But who would be our pattern? What does it mean? What does the word pattern mean? Well, if you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, it says a form or a model proposed for imitation. Strong's Bible Concordance says that pattern is a sketch for imitation. When I think of a sketch, I think about as a kid, sometimes I would take like something out of a coloring book and I would put it up on a window where the sun would come through, and then I would, you know, draw that, and I would use the paper to sketch that out. The paper was the model and the pattern, and I would sketch it. Somebody may say, well, of course, Christ is our pattern. I mean, didn't he say, follow me? And he told the 12, follow me. But instead of following him, the people cried away with him, and they nailed him to a cross. And then the 12, they forsook him and fled. So what did our rejected Lord do after he rose from the dead? Well, we know that he ascended into heaven, and we know that prophecy said that he would be seated at the right hand of the Father until he made his enemies his footstool. And so prophecy said that the Son would ascend, he'd be exalted, and then the wrath would come and judgment would come to the world. And instead of doing that, we know that in Acts 7, Stephen's being stoned, and he sees Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. Remember, he was seated, but now he's standing. It's as if Israel's their guilt now has come. They have rejected now the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and now the wrath is about to come. The Son of Man is standing. And yet, instead of the wrath coming, we see in Acts chapter 9 that God reaches down in sheer grace and he saves a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners. And notice why God did this. I want you to look at 1 Timothy 1:16. You'll have to forgive me a little bit tonight if I cough. I had a little bit of a cough. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause, Paul said, this is Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul now. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained what? Mercy. That in me, what's the next word? First, so something started with Paul there. You can't deny that. Something started with Paul. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. And then notice, what was this? He said it was for a what? Pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him, on Christ, to life everlasting. So in your handout there, it says that that God saved Saul of Tarsus, chief of sinners, set him forth as a pattern for other believers in the age of grace. This is a very important verse. The Apostle Paul, let me ask you a question. Was Paul a sinner like everybody else? Yeah. Was he a sinner before he got saved? We know that. Was he a sinner after he got saved? Yeah. He was. He was a sinner. But yet his life is to be a pattern to those who would later after him believe on Christ. So how is he our pattern? That's the question I want to answer. How is Paul a pattern? Number one, Paul is our pattern in salvation. Now, obviously, Christ would not be our pattern in salvation. Can anybody tell me why? Why would Christ not be our pattern in how to get saved? Right, because he didn't need saving. Correct? He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was never saved because he was never lost. He never sinned. He didn't come to show us how to be saved. He came to give his life so that we could be saved. Amen? So, you know, you're not going to go to the Bible and look at Christ and say, oh, that's, you know, he's an example in how to get saved because he never was saved. He came to provide salvation. In your handout there, it says that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, therefore he had no need of salvation, but rather came to be our Savior. He came to provide salvation for us. So we're not going to look to Christ as a pattern in how to get saved, because he never got saved. He's the giver. He's the provider of that. But yet Paul is a wonderful pattern in how to be saved. Look at our text here, and notice verse 13. Paul is talking about himself, and he says, who was before he was saved. He said, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that means a violent, abusive man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, in your handout, it says Paul was a wicked, blasphemous sinner. That's his own words. He was a wicked, blasphemous sinner. All right, now let's look at the next thing. Look at verse 14. Let's read on. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners. Say that with me. To what? Save sinners, of whom I am chief. So in your handout, Paul was a wicked, blasphemous sinner, yet because of the grace of our Lord, Paul was gloriously saved. Because of the grace of our Lord, Paul was gloriously saved. Well, how did he get saved? Well, he went to the church and got baptized, right? He had perfect attendance for a year, right? He kept the law. No. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, and there's the key word, what is it? Believe on him. And when you believe on him, what do you get? What's the verse say? If I believe on Christ, what does that lead to? So in your handout, it says Paul simply believed on Christ and received everlasting life. Now, I want you to look at those three points. Paul was a wicked sinner, yet because of the grace of our Lord, Paul was saved, and he got saved by believing on Christ, and then he got everlasting life. Now, anybody who's been saved for the past 2,000 years ought to be able to give that exact same testimony. Anyone saved, that's how they had to get saved. If that didn't happen, then they're not saved. Amen? Period. That's how you get saved. You recognize you're a sinner. You recognize that God's offering His grace to you through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You believe on Christ. You trust Him alone. And then you get everlasting life. That's how every person gets saved. Now, the details differ. Your sin's different than my sin. that you committed before you got saved. Your background's different, you know. My background's different than yours. But yet, those details are the same if we're saved. We were sinners. We recognized the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And then we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Boy, I hope you can say that tonight. So Paul is our pattern in regards to salvation. Vile sinner, saved by the grace of God, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a pattern. See? Now, let's go to the next thing. Number two, Paul is our pattern in service. Paul is our pattern in service. Give me a little bit more, Mark, in the A's. Paul is our pattern in service. When it comes to serving Christ, nobody provides a better pattern for the Christian in this age than the Apostle Paul. Certainly, Samuel was a great servant of the Lord. You know? David was a great servant of the Lord. And certainly, Daniel was a great servant of the Lord. And we can look back and see Moses. And the Bible says he was faithful in all his house. What a great example Moses was. But yet, I think Paul is our pattern in regards to service. And I'm going to show you here in a moment. Paul unashamedly declared himself to be a servant of Christ. Now, before Paul was saved, you remember? We're going to study this. Before Paul got saved, he was a man that was dedicated to destroying the work of Jesus Christ. In fact, go to Acts 9 real quick. Let me show you something there. Acts chapter 9. We'll look at this in more detail, of course, Acts 9 later. But for right now, I just want you to notice something kind of interesting here. Acts 9, verse 1. Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "And Saul," that's Paul, "yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest," the Jewish high priest, "and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue." Why? In other words, he wanted authority that if he found any of this way, that is the Christian way, the way of Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. So this is Paul's mindset, right? His mindset is, man, I want to destroy anything that has to do with the work of Christ. I want to destroy it. The Bible says over in Galatians, he talks about that, how that he made havoc of the church. You know, and how that he sought to destroy, you know, anybody that was involved in that. He said he persecuted in time past the faith that he now preaches. You know, so he did everything that he could to try and destroy the. He said, "I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So Paul did everything he could to destroy it. After Paul got saved, I want you to see, notice verse number 20. Okay, look at verse 20. It says here, talking about Paul, "And straightway he preached who in the synagogues? Christ, that he is the Son of God." Verse 22. "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Verse 29. "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Now wait a minute, hold on. Verses 1 and 2, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Now I read in verses 20 through 29, and now he's preaching Christ every opportunity he gets. What happened between verse 2 and verse 20? He got saved. Yeah, exactly. He got saved. He put his trust, he put his faith in Christ. Now he's totally committed to serving Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In Acts 20, Paul calls together the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he brings them together, and he wants to talk to them. Now remember, Paul established the church at Ephesus and was there for 3 years. Stay with me. He was there 3 years in Ephesus serving the Lord with these people side by side. In verses 17 and 18, Paul is going to recall those 3 years of service for the Lord. Look at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And what Paul is going to basically do is he's going to say, guys, I want you to remember how I serve the Lord with you, and that's how I want you to serve the Lord. Paul is going to basically say to them, I am a pattern. I am an example in how you, as elders, need to serve the Lord. Paul had a testimony for Christ. And it's interesting that when he talks to these guys about serving the Lord, he doesn't go back to an Old Testament example, or he doesn't go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He goes back to his own life, and he says, I want you to remember how I served God among you. This is one of the greatest texts that I know of in how to serve the Lord. And I want to give you several things in your handout. Number one, he served the Lord with humility. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. He says here, serving the Lord. Remember, he's going to review now how he served Christ. He said, I was serving the Lord with all what? Humility of mind. Humility of mind. You know, pride keeps a lot of people from serving the Lord the way they should. And pride also causes a lot of people to stop serving the Lord. Pride. Pride issues. And pride issues rise up, and it hinders people in their service for God. Paul said, I want you to remember how I serve the Lord with humility of mind. It wasn't all about Paul. It was about Christ, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. Number two, he continued serving God even in the hard times. Even in the hard times. Look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and notice how else he was serving the Lord. With many tears and temptations, that means trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. There were people who did not like Paul. There were people who did not care for Paul. They were against Paul. And he said, I want you to remember how I served. And a lot of times I served in tears. And I served in difficult times. And, you know, anytime you serve the Lord, do you think the devil's going to give you a free pass? Yes or no? No, he's not. I get tickled. Sometimes I've seen, you know, younger Christians or whatever, and they're excited and they go to church and they're like, oh, I wish I could just live at this place. You know, and I wish I could just live at the church. I love it. I just look forward to every service. And then they think, well, man, you know, I've heard people kind of give the idea that, man, my job at work, it's kind of tough right now. So you know what? I think I might go into full-time ministry so my life will be easier. Wrong. Just look at Paul. He said, I serve the Lord with tears and temptations. You know? But he didn't let that stop him. Amen, church? He said, I'm not going to let it stop me. The next thing there in your handout is he served the Lord by witnessing to others of Christ. Christ was his main focus. Look at verse 20. He goes on here and he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down with me at verse 25. Verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He was a faithful witness, man. He went publicly witnessing for Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of Christ. Man, if you're going to serve God, you can't be ashamed of Christ. The next thing, he served the Lord regardless of personal expense. Now, I want you to take these principles and I want you to seek to apply these to your service tonight, okay? He served the Lord regardless of personal expense. Look down at verse number 22. Verse 22. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul said, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem to preach Christ, and I know, prophets have told me that there's bonds, there are afflictions there. He said, but those things don't move me. Those things don't change my mind. He said, you know, I'm willing to go, and if need be, I'm willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that over in chapter 21, verse 13. He said, I'm ready not to be bound only. He said, man, I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So he served the Lord regardless of personal expense. And you know, I think that's a foreign concept to so many today, especially in America, where we're inundated with the health and wealth message of TV preachers and we're inundated with Christian books who want to sell books. And in an effort to do that, the message is basically, you know, God's this heavenly genie and God is there to give you what you want and He's there to bless you and He's there to make your life, you know, good and to do all these things. And we're so inundated with that in America because we're so materialistic and we so much want more stuff that we really want to believe that that's why God exists and that's what God wants to do. Just give me more stuff, you know. And so the idea of personal expense, that it may cost me something to be faithful. Our idea is if I'm faithful, He's going to bless me. If I'm faithful, He's going to give me what I want. Whereas the whole concept of Scripture is if I'm faithful, I'm probably going to be persecuted. If I'm faithful, I'm probably going to suffer. If I'm faithful, it's probably going to cost me something. You know, that's the whole concept Paul gives. But health and wealth preachers will go to kingdom passages and they'll go to Israel and they'll go to and they'll pull and stuff out and convince you, oh no, you know, man, if you're faithful and you do this and you do that and you keep this list of stuff or you pray this magic prayer, man, God's just going to bless you and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And so, you know, we kind of get the mentality of, well, what's in it for me? You know, is it going to make me happy? And, you know, and then people get disillusioned if things don't work out the way they thought it should work out. But Paul served the Lord regardless of personal expense. Do you think there are faithful people in the world right now that are living in dirt huts? Do you think there are faithful people to our Lord that are in prison suffering right now? You better know it. So, you know, we really need to shift our thinking. And we need to align it with Scripture, okay? The next thing there, and I could stay on that all night, so let's move on. He served the Lord by studying the Word of God and possessing a steadfast confidence in God's Word. And this is what he encourages the elders to do. Look down with me at verse 27, 28. Look at this. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now look at verse 28. He tells the elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." So in other words, watch out for yourself and you watch out for your flock. "Over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Look down at verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Notice His word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them, among all them which are sanctified. You know, when we serve the Lord, we serve Him with a complete confidence in the word of God. We believe that this book is faithful, it's true, it's preserved. The Word of God has been preserved for us holy and blameless. It's the Holy Scriptures. We have the utmost confidence in this book, rightly divided. And we preach and we proclaim the Word of God. We stand on it. We don't compromise it. We don't back down from it. We take our stand upon God's Word as we serve the Lord. We don't compromise it. You know, one of the qualifications of an elder, a pastor, if you will, is that Titus 1:9 says he has to hold fast the faithful word which he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He says, hold fast. It's the idea of clinging to it. I'm clinging to it and I'm not. You ever seen a dog grab a hold of a rag and won't let go and you can just do the dog like this? That's the idea. You cling to this book. And it doesn't matter who tosses you, who turns you, or if somebody does this to you, you're not letting go of it. Amen, church? That's the idea of elders holding fast the faithful word. Notice he calls it the faithful word. I have no problem at all telling you I hold in my hands the Word of God. And I have no problem telling you it's inspired, it's preserved, and it's able to fully equip you unto all good works. And you don't need anything else. This is enough right here. This is enough. The next thing there, he served the Lord. If you turn your hand out over, he served the Lord by caring. He served the Lord by caring about people and giving unselfishly to others. Paul had such a great heart. Look at verse 29. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't really care about the flock. And then he says in verse 30, also, he said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Verse 35, if you'll skip down there. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, say it with me, church, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul is a great example for us in how to serve the Lord because he served the Lord by caring about people and giving unselfishly to others. He said in verse 33, and we'll talk about that here in a moment, that he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You know, in common day language, you know, he would probably said, I have coveted no man's car. You know, I have coveted no man's house. I have coveted no man's suit of clothes. I have coveted no, no man's coffee pot. Coffee beans. I don't know. Whatever. But I have done that. That coffee stuff you give me, Jim. That's, oh boy. I'm hoping they serve that in heaven, aren't you? But anyway. You know, folks, listen. Everybody's looking for a pattern. Everybody's looking for an example. Everybody's looking for, well, what do I follow? You know, and we look at Paul and we say, okay, definitely, man, what a pattern in salvation. He was a sinner. By the grace of God, and through the finished work of Christ, God offers His grace. Paul believes on Christ and is saved. And that's such a great pattern for us. Then he gets the elders together at Ephesus and he says, hey guys, you remember how I served? And then he starts going through it and he starts recalling his 3-year ministry there and says, remember how I served among you. Yeah, there was problems. Yeah, there were tears. Yeah, there were temptations. Yeah, there was enemies. Yeah, there was problems. But remember how I served the Lord among you. Don't forget that. And what I want to do is I think I want to stop there tonight. And I want you to just close your hand out. And I want you to bring that back next Wednesday night And I want to get into some things next Wednesday that are important, I think, for us to understand. But I want to stop there. And I just want to take a moment here to have us all bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you to think about your life, your service for the Lord. Would you just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? And would you allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you tonight? And ask yourself, am I serving the Lord in these ways that Paul did? Can we do that? Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes right now? Am I serving the Lord with humility? You know? Am I serving Him regardless of personal expense? Am I serving Him by loving people? Am I serving Him standing on His Word, studying it? Am I serving the Lord this way? I just want to, in the quietness of the hour, to let the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to you, minister to you. Are you serving the Lord, period? You know, are you serving Him? That's a great question. Hopefully you are. But if you are serving, how are you serving? What a great pattern Paul is for us in this area of serving the Lord.